Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, one of the many features of Reader Views. Hello, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of Reader Views and host for today. I'm delighted to be speaking to J.L. Gibson, author of Dragon Queen. J.L. was born in California, where she would spend much of her young life. As a child, she listened to her grandmother spin stories of traditional Celtic folklore and fairy tales, which would later influence her in the direction of her own writing and storytelling. The sense of mythology fostered in J.L.'s life drove her to eventually create Ancient Mirror Tales, a series of books that delve into an ancient magical world where men live alongside dragons and wizards. Wow! J.L. currently resides in southern Oregon with her husband and her five pet sugar gliders. We're going to have to talk about those, too. And she also has a cockatoo. She's often featured at conventions and conferences and can be found annually at the Book Expo America, Wordstock, Oregon South Coast Writers Conference, and Fairy World. She's currently at work on her next novel. Hi, J.L.
Hi.
Great to have you. I'm just really excited to be talking to you because as I did a little research on your book and your writing and reading the reviews, it must really take a lot of imagination to create a fantasy book that appeals to teens and young adults. You must have it.
So far, I feel really, really fortunate to be sharing my work with both adults and teens. And as far as the imagination goes, I was well fostered in me when I was young, and I can't seem to escape it. So,
well, and it, from what I understand, it was your Irish grandmother that really fostered that into you.
My grandmother, I just will be indebted to her forever. She was a wonderful, wonderful, independent woman in a time when independence wasn't a popular thing in women. I can still remember sitting on a stool while she rolled out pie crusts and told me tales. And some of them were the traditional tales of the Irish Celts, but I think a lot of them were just kind of made up. And so I took on that make up a story early in life and used it to entertain other kids.
You mean she would just make up a story as she went along?
Oh, she would, yes.
Oh, wow, that's great. So tell me, do you have any particular story that really sticks in your mind that she would tell you?
Well, obviously, it was dragons that caught my attention, even very young. I have my entire life always had a wind dragon under my desk, and I just always knew he was there. And children have imaginary friends, and my imagination has just kept him there until now, and I'm 58, so I have no excuse. He's still there, though.
Well, that's good, and there's no reason for the dragon to go away. So why is our kids and adults and just so, mesmerized by dragons? What is it about dragons?
I think that dragons, I think that as children particularly, we're fascinated by dinosaurs. And so I think dragons are a natural extension of that attraction, plus the fact dragons have always been described as sentient beings. So not only are they huge and reptilian, but they're intelligent and can talk to us. And that puts a real magical touch to a dragon. And I think that both adults and children really enjoy that.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to a dragon?
The one under my desk. Yeah, you have to kick him occasionally. He gets out of line.
Does he talk back?
Oh, he does. Right inside my head, his voice booms, yes.
Oh, that is too funny. Well, your book, the book that we're talking about today, is called Dragon Queen. Give us a storyline on this book that is so enjoyed.
It's the story of a young woman who is actually summoned from the slumber of death, and she awakes on a world that's been shattered. It's actually broken apart and orbiting around the sun, which is called the Golden Star. And she awakens, and she doesn't have any memory of her life before. And so this is actually a story of loss and rediscovery. It's a story of the search for the truth. It's a story of a very strong young woman who's willing to take on every challenge on her own. It's part of a four-book series. This is actually the first story in the series, Dragon Queen is. She searches for the truth of her birthright and her ultimate job is to reunite a shattered world.
Wow. And so you're actually, it's a fantasy story, but there is such a deeper underlying message.
You know, that's what my editor told me. as a 13-year veteran school teacher, now retired, I think one of the things that I wanted to do was make sure that young readers were captured. And in order to do that, you have to have characters that they can identify with, but you also have to maintain that high adventure, that action that kids seem to really need when they're reading. And that was something that I wanted to do, was encourage kids to read. And so far, from book signings and interaction with young people, the book seems to be doing that, and that makes me very, very excited.
Well, just as a book review service and having kids review books, this is what I'm finding is this is what they want to read. They don't want to read something that's reality or self-help or, you know, they really want the fantasy. But what I'm also hearing from you in this book, it is fantasy, but there again, back that underlying message, and the kids can get that message.
Yes, and I think it's important when your audience is going to include the younger population, I think it's real important that you touch on those things that happen to all of us. You know, we're all courageous at some time in our life, and we all are afraid. We all have problems with our parents and with our siblings, and as we get older, with marriage partners. Those are all things that I think are really important for us to have in our stories, the things that are real as well as the fantasy element. And they seem to go hand in hand in the Ancient Mirrors series.
So the Ancient Mirrors series are based on Arthurian written, from what my understanding is. And just give us a little bit more detail on how you come up with the stories that go into that particular era.
The setting is closest to Arthurian Britain in the way that I laid out the world itself, the kingdoms, and the way the politics and the actual faith that develops in the stories over time is based on the fairy faith in Celtic countries. And so I did use both the Arthurian maps and politics when I was doing the research for the stories. And I also wanted to use that wonderful and chivalrous period of time that involved knights, but with a feminine twist.
Ah, there again, back to imagination.
My brain is never slow. I can't even sleep because it won't stop. So.
And obviously you're very keen on doing research, because obviously this would take a lot of research. So what is it about the Celtic tradition that really resonates with you?
I think that it's part of my heritage. I grew up with it. The stories were always there. Celtic legends, the Irish Celtic legends, and they do vary from the Scots version and the Welsh versions and the Briton versions and the Irish versions. But the thing that's similar in all of them is they can be divided into three classes. You have the adventures that take place in the Irish other world, the land of death. You have the voyages, which take place at sea, and all the wonders that were seen on the seas. And I think those probably came from the experiences of fishermen, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the folk tales, the traditional folk tales. So those three traditions, I heard them over and over growing up, and they just really stuck with me.
Well, yes, it certainly does make sense. If you're living with all those traditions and folklores, they just become part of you, so it's a very natural to even write about it. Now, Ancient Mirrors, you had just said a few moments ago, that is based on the traditional aspects of the fairy faith. So tell us more about the fairy faith.
The Fairy Faith, and I would encourage anybody who really wants to look at it in depth to read The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz. He actually conducted interviews for a number of years and wrote his doctoral thesis on the fairy faith. The fairy faith is still alive and well in many countries in the United Kingdom. It's a faith with a very, very specific outlook on the afterlife, just as Christianity has. It's a faith that like most religions, in fact, all religions that we look at, whether they're from long, long ago or today, are explaining things that we don't understand. And the fairy faith does the same thing. It just appears that in Ireland, there's a lot more unexplained stuff happening. I know that my grandmother would take walks with me, and we couldn't pass a small cluster of mushrooms without a story springing out of her mouth. And so now, even now, when I live 300 feet from a state park, and taking a walk, every time I see that cluster of mushrooms growing alongside of a giant redwood tree, I hear her voice in my head. And much of that has religious ties, and much of it is just traditional folklore. And so far, I've never really tried to separate the two, mm-hmm. as far as my grandmother was concerned. She was a firm believer that the fairies were out there. And they were the light that sparkles outside the corner of your eye. You know, they were just always there. And in your house, you know, you carried out the spider, you didn't kill him.
Did they have a physical form? Do the fairies have a physical form?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. And the thing is, they do have wings large enough to carry them. So often in artistic renderings, what we see is lovely naked women with little tiny wings. Uh-huh. And according to my grandmother, that wasn't quite the way it was. The fairies could be visible if you were paying close attention. They could be invisible if you weren't. They could be up to no good. They could interfere in your life in a good way and stop you from making some terribly foolish mistake. So she lived with them on a daily basis, and spending a lot of time in her house, so did I.
So consequently, what I'm hearing you say, that fairies are real.
Oh, yes.
All right. How exciting is that? I always thought they were real, too.
They are just as real as that dragon that lives in the
All right.
I will fight anybody for him. So
that is too funny. So I just wanted to ask one more question about fairies. Does everybody that believes in fairies have their own special fairy, like a guardian angel fairy, or
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I've never been taught that fairies and guardian angels were in any way, shape, or form the same thing. So, I'm just not. That's not my belief. I do think that the Celtic people had a very, very strong tie to nature. And I know that if I go sit very, very quietly in the small shelter of trees and close my eyes and listen, I can hear things that people don't generally hear. And I think that's true of all of us as humans. If we stop and we're quiet, there's a lot more to life than what we see.
Exactly. All we have to do is listen.
Yes.
Yeah, take a breath.
We're generally just too busy.
That's right. Read who, me? This is just so exciting. I have so many questions. So, we can go on for hours here, I'm sure. The characters in your books, where do you get the ideas for them?
Oh, you know, that's a question that I think most authors are asked more commonly than any other time. Or any other question. I truly take no responsibility for them. In fact, I've told my editor that I'm just a typist, and she assures me I'm more than that, but that's not how it feels. They talk in my head. My daughter says, be careful, they lock people up for that. But they talk in my head, and I hear their conversations, and I see their faces, and truly what I do is write them down on paper. They just seem sometimes to spring from nowhere. And occasionally there will be a character who springs up out of nowhere and doesn't belong to the story I'm writing. And so I have a closet with a bulging door, and they're all locked in there waiting to get out.
For the next book.
For the next book. Actually, it's a whole series now. I have six outlines, so I guess it's a series. But I don't know where they come from. They just are there. And since I started writing, I've not been able to stop. My fingers fly over the keyboard. I write 8 to 10 hours a day, and I'm having an absolutely wonderful time doing it. I would do it if it never went anywhere else. It's just a passion. And as long as the characters talk, I'll tell their story, and when they quit talking, I'll stop.
Wow. Wow. Ancient Mirror Tales. So where did you come up with the title of Ancient Mirror Tales for your series?
The Ancient Mirrors title actually comes from a common thread throughout the series, and that is the ancient mirrors that lie beneath Dragmoor. And these mirrors are used to travel between the kingdoms, and ultimately in the series, they are used to travel between worlds. So that's why we call them ancient mirrors.
Ah, okay. Now, the main character obviously goes throughout your whole series, is that correct?
She comes in and out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She comes in and out. She's actually in every one of the books. More. She makes more appearances in some than others.
Uh-huh.
Her niece takes over in the second book of the series, and it actually is her niece that is most common throughout the following books.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Actually, I think Yavi just got too busy. You know, she has to run a kingdom. She just... she doesn't have time to go on adventures anymore. So her niece... was actually charged with that job of making sure that things go the way they're supposed to in the sequels.
So this book is pretty much targeted for the teen young adult, but I would imagine you also have adults reading this book and just totally enjoying it.
Actually, when it was written and when it was first being published, it wasn't... The target audience was basically... 13 to 25-year-olds, males. Don't ask me why, because it didn't turn out to be that way at all. Video gamers, because it has elements of role-play gaming in it. My librarian, the local librarian, says that she has to keep it both on the young adult shelf and the adult shelf because the adults were stealing it from the young adult shelf. So it's ended up in both places, which is nice. It's nice to know that it's being enjoyed by both adults and young people.
Exactly. It's important for that crossover. Otherwise, it's just really targeted into one particular area. And I'm really glad to see that they are keeping it in both for the adults and also for the young adult and the teens, because that it seems to me that that's, the teens are the ones that are really into this, but I know that adults are too. So your next book then after Dragon Queen is The Reckoning.
Yes, The Reckoning.
Okay, and we will be talking to you about that at another time. Now, what about the series after that? What stage are they in right now?
I'm actually working on the first novel of the new series. It will also be Ancient Mirrors, but it'll be Ancient Mirrors Everneath. Takes place in a whole new setting in a new series of worlds. And the third book of the Ancient Mirror series is due out November 1st. That's Damselflies. And then Quandom, the final book of that first four-book series, will be out in June 2008.
Ah, okay. Basically, it's good spacing. Good spacing.
Yep, I'm real happy that's the way they do it.
Okay.
They just do it that way. I don't
Well, gosh, is there anything that you would like to tell our listening audience, just sort of to summarize your whole demeanor around this book?
Well, one of the things that was really important to me is to make sure that my primary characters were female. I felt there was a real need in fantasy and science fiction, particularly, for a stronger woman influence. And And the stories have really turned out to be that way without me working too hard at it. The characters take on their own personalities and occasionally run away with the story and have to be reined in, and it takes a lot of rewriting. But I think it's important that girls have role models in stories too. And I at first was concerned that I might lose some male readership, but that hasn't happened. So apparently, what's not to love about a strong, beautiful woman who can handle a bit of action and adventure?
Exactly.
And so that was real important.
Great. Well, gosh, JL, we're coming to an end of this. As I say, I could talk for quite a bit longer here, just inquiring about all your, your writing skills and so on, but we'll go into that with your next interview on The Reckoning. But in the meantime, please tell our listening audience your website so they can go and check it out. And I know you've got all kinds of things there. I was on your website, and it was just a lot of fun. So,
thank you. Yeah, I've been real fortunate with my artists, both the cover artists for the Ancient Mirror series and the new artist who's Romanian, who will be doing Everneath for me. They just provide wonderful visuals for my characters. So do visit the website. It's www.ancientmirrors.com, and the books are available wherever books are sold, online or in your local bookstore. And if they don't have them, squeal and holler and say, get them.
Again, Janelle, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us and talking to us about your book. And I'd like to remind our listening audience that they can link from J.L. Gibson's author's page on Inside Scoop Live or the book review and read reviews and purchase Dragon Queen through Amazon.com or, as J.L. had said, go to your local bookstore, and if it's not there, have it ordered. And again, J.L.'s website is ancientmirrors.com. I'm your host, Irene Watson, and thank you for listening, supporting J.L. and the author of Dragon Queen. And I invite you to check the other interviews and listen in. Bye for now.